To supply my every need, I lean on you. I've been on the mountain when the sun was shining bright. I've been in the valley when the clouds were black as night. I've been betrayed by Jesus, by a friend who wasn't true. But in the good times or the bad times, Lord, I've learned to lean on you. I lean on you, Lord. I lean on you, Lord. For the things that I need, I lean on you.
When I don't know just what to do, I've got faith you're gonna see.
To supply my every need, I lean on you. I've heard the battle raging, then I prayed till victory came. There have been times I really thought, Lord, you don't even know my name. But I've been blessed, and I've been down to where I didn't know what to do. But in the times of joy and sorrow, Lord, I've learned to lean on you. I lean on you, Lord. I lean on you, Lord. For the things that I need, I lean on you.
When I don't know just what to do, I've got faith you're gonna see.
To supply my every need,
I lean on you. When I don't know just what to do, I've got faith you're gonna see me through.
To supply my every need,
I lean on you.
Aren't you glad we got someone we can lean on this morning? We can lean on Jesus. What a blessing that is to have him be here for us. And I want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs. Good old Powder Springs. And Powder Springs is turning into a big little city, isn't it? Or a little big city. And but things are coming up all over the place around here. And on any given morning, you can find Brother Randy in the Sangster's Coffee Shop eating a bagel and drinking a coffee. And but anyway, hey, community-minded is I believe, what the thought process is there, being community-minded. But anyway, good to be here this morning. Good to see each and every one of you. So thankful and grateful to have those that are visiting with us. And we have a couple that's back with us, and this is not your first time, so welcome back. So good to have you, although we do have one that I believe may be the first time in the back, so good to have you with us this morning as well. And we'll pass a visitor's card out to you here in just a moment. You can fill that out if you don't mind, and just put it in the offering plate as it comes around, or give it to somebody here in the church here in just a little bit. That will be fine. Well, hope everybody's had a good week this week. If not, I'm hoping that your week will get better starting today, and you can have a much better week next week. I do want to mention just a few things this morning before we pray. Remember the children's home, they're on the road and they're in motion this morning, so remember them as they're traveling. And Jeff and Sharon both, Jeff and Sharon Hodges, they're sick this morning. They're at home, so remember them. And again, it was so good to have my grandparents here last Sunday morning, and I believe they're at home resting this morning, but they're doing good. Good to see Brother Harold again back with us, and what a blessing that is. Let's continue to remember all of the hurricane victims that has been touched by Helene and Milton. And we have our hurricane crew back with us this morning. And they went up. Man, they hightailed it up to, what was it, South or North Carolina? North Carolina. And they were able to go up there and assist and help. And we are thankful for them and proud of them for doing that. And others went. I believe the ball team went as well, and Dion and some others. They've seen a lot of things, a lot of devastation. And I tell you, these hurricanes have definitely changed lives, and not so much for the better. But please remember them. And remember Jim Jr. as his heel heals so he can have his foot surgery. And remember the Palmers as Berliner continues his treatment. And remember Miss Connie Norton as she's at home recovering still. And appreciate her. Just remember every person, every life, every situation. Just a few things I want to call your attention to. Number one is don't forget to vote. Don't forget to vote. It is almost time for that. So remember to go vote if you have not already. In just a moment after I pray, we're going to have a video. It's about a 4-minute long video, and it's for the Operation Christmas Child. We have some gifts over here, some boxes and things, something we're doing this year. And we really would like for you to, just be able to see what it's all about. And so we're going to do that. So remember that. But also CLU at 3:30 in the Fellowship Hall. Am I saying this right? Okay. All right. Whew. I got one shot at this. I don't ever want to mess it up. But anyway, all right. Well, you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's worship. And let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And just after this prayer, we'll have the video played. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for who you are and for what you do. God, I thank you for the people that are here this morning. Lord, they've come for a reason. They've come for a purpose. And I pray that you would just fill their hearts and minds with the good things of God. Give them direction. Lord, if we need to be challenged, I pray that you would challenge us. But whatever happens today, whatever you give us, I know it'll be right, it'll be fitting, it'll be good. And we'll leave here being different. Lord, we pray for all the hurricane victims whose lives have been forever changed and touched. We pray that you'd be with them and help them. Lord, help them all, if they're not saved, come to a saving knowledge of Jesus, but then just help rebuild their lives, Lord. Such a devastating thing that happened. Be with us all here this morning in a very special way. We'll praise you. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
Can hear the laughter, the cheer.
Each gift brings a joy to their heart.
Jesus said, let the little children come to me. I want the children to know that Jesus Christ is alive, and he'll come into each and every heart that invites him.
The mission of Operation Christmas Child is to share the gospel with children around the world. Every shoebox gift is delivered with a verbal and written proclamation of the gospel in more than 100 countries every year.
Jesus loves you.
This is an evangelism project, and it all starts with a very simple shoebox gift.
Volunteers are really the heart of who we are and what we do.
When we pack the boxes, it's a reflection, a little glimpse of God's love that we're pouring out.
When you pack the box, pray. We never know how God is going to use that box. They go by plane, they go by riverboat, they go by motorbikes. These shoeboxes go to children in some of the most isolated areas of the world.
Your shoebox goes from you filling it full of toys to all ends of the earth to share the name of Jesus Christ.
This box gives us a chance to show them that there is a light, there is a truth.
After receiving shoebox gifts, children are invited to a 12-lesson discipleship program, The Greatest Journey.
The child is discipled, not only know God, but make God known to others.
They started to know the power of prayer. They want to know more.
From this, we are seeing lives transformed for the kingdom of God.
Yo tenía 9 años cuando me dieron mi regalo a través de la iglesia. Solo Dios me tocó y sentí en mi corazón algo fuerte. Ya ves, yo sumergí el pecado mío desde hace tiempo y yo no puedo regresar atrás. A mí me encanta compartir lo que es la Biblia con mi hermanito pequeño, Yalil. Y yo le digo a la gente, amistades, que busquen a Dios.
When I was 14 years old, I started teaching my first The Greatest Journey lesson. If I shared the gospel to them, I really, really hope that they share the gospel with everyone they know.
The heart of Operation Christmas Child is evangelism, discipleship, and multiplication. Because we bring gift to the children, the mothers and the fathers accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. In every church, we are teaching them how to reach out to their neighbors. Operation Christmas Child became the answer from God.
Children are taking the gospel to the ends of the earth.
And it's time for us to go where no one else went, so the gospel can cover this earth just the way the water covered the ocean.
Let's pray for the outreach to continue. It has to be our burden to reach them with the gospel.
Millions of children around the world are being impacted by these simple shoebox gifts. So we need to keep packing those boxes and continue to pray for the children around the world as we begin to disciple them. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Can you imagine you packing a box and praying over your box, not knowing where it would go or who it might reach, and some young person accept Christ as their Savior because you packed a box, and then them going home to their family, mom and dad, that have never heard anything about the gospel, and have a young person say, maybe in their native language, I accepted Christ today because of what I received in this little box. Amen. Because they're going to put tracts and things in there to tell how Jesus died on the cross for their sins. And then a mom and a dad accept the Lord as their Savior. And then they go and they tell their neighbor and say, hey, you're not going to believe what took place. You see, that's how the gospel is intended to work. But we've got to put some shoe leather on our faith. And we've got to be willing to say, Lord, use me with this little box. There's no telling what might happen on the outstretches of this world. As outstretches a world, you get it. Because somebody took the time and said, you know what? I want to reach someone for the cause of Christ. This is an opportunity. It's exactly what it is, an opportunity. Stand with me, church. Choir, stand with me. And let's sing about what took place at a place called Calvary. At Calvary, page 139. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Amen. For the sake of time, you can be seated. We're going to take up the offering here in just a few minutes. Choir, you can be seated as well. And we'll have another song by the choir, and then we have a special, so we want to try and save a little bit of time. Plus, we've got the ushers. They've been standing down here for a minute. But I thank you for being at Calvary this morning. Calvary, the church, to hear about Calvary at the cross and what took place for us. I'm so thankful this morning, if you're visiting with us, and I know Pastor is as well, for choosing Calvary as your place of worship today. We consider it an honor that you would be here. Thank you for it. We're a little few in number this morning. We've got a lot of folks traveling. Children's home is gone. I think we missed the bus this morning, choir, maybe. But we are going to still worship the Lord and praise Him because He's here. And that's the reason that we're here. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would fill this place today. Please remember all the prayer requests. Choir, if you'll meet me this afternoon right after COU at 4:30 or soon after, whenever you guys get done, we'll have just a few moments to get a couple of songs ready for tonight. But 4:30, choir. But it is, again, it's great to see you in the house of the Lord. Let's pray that the Lord would touch His place and bless the offering. He knows exactly what is needed. Father, we love You. We praise You and we thank You this morning for the opportunity that we have to be able to come to Your house. We are thankful, Lord, for a place called Calvary, the hill called Calvary, where You were willing to give Your Son to die for our sins. And Lord, we thank You for that. Lord, maybe someone is here today and they've heard the message time and time again, but maybe today that they'll realize that the message is for them. Maybe they've never accepted You as their personal Savior. Lord, what a joy it would be to see someone come to know You as personal Savior today. Lord, I pray that this place would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that You'd use our pastor today to speak to our hearts. Lord, through the moving of Your Holy Spirit, that we'll be able to leave this place and say that it's been good to have been in Your house. Now, Lord, bless the offering, the gift, and the giver. Thank You for those that are visiting with us. Pray that they feel at home in Your house today. Lord, we just ask You that You would do a work in this place that we'll be able to leave and say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord today. We'll praise You and thank You for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen.
The adversary says, give in. Just
So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision. That's when my frustration gets so out of hand. But it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. When I look at all my victories, and the Spirit rises up in me, it's through the fire my weakness is made strong.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says give in, just
and he will take you through the fire again. I know within myself I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, he shields the flames again, again.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says, give in, hold on. Our Lord will show up,
and he will
take you through the fire again.
Just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again.
Something I want to mention. Got CJ and Amanda. They're about to bring a song to us. And I hope you're saved this morning. I hope you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. If you do not, today is the day of salvation. Let's talk about it after service. You can come to me. You can come to one of our people on staff. But the devil is trying everything he can to get to you and to get to me. And he can cross many boundaries. He can get to our families. He can get inside our homes if we're not careful. But there's one thing he cannot cross, and that is the bloodline of Jesus Christ. So he can try what he wants to try. He cannot take our life. He cannot ruin our life. The Lord Jesus gives him permission to irritate and aggravate us at times, but in return of that, our faith is always strengthened. And so praise the Lord. Pray for them as Miss Amanda sings, CJ plays, can't cross the bloodline. Brother.
I just want to say, too, just to kind of echo that, as y'all know, we went to North Carolina to help. My emotions are still kind of high from that, so it's hard for me to even talk about yet. But we started at a church and took some stuff there, and then we went over to the school, and we were literally in ground zero, so we were right there. And the man that met us and greeted us was the pastor first, and then a little man. I honestly think he was staying at the church to help feed the community, but tears just streaming down his face. He said, "I lost my best friend, and I'm burying him today." He said, "But we don't have anything." He said, "I mean, there's people living in tents there because they don't have a home." He said, "But you know what? I have Jesus. And you know, they lost everything. Some of us are going through some stuff. But if we have Jesus in our heart," I tell my kids this when I pray them out the door in the morning. I tell them, we can't make it through this life without him. If we don't have the Lord as our Savior, I truly don't know. It's just a matter of time where you just can't go anymore. If you don't have the Lord in your heart as your Savior and by your side to get you through that. And I'm that man. And you could tell that man didn't have a lot that day that we talked to. And he was just a good old boy, is what he called himself, actually. But he said, "But you know what? I have Jesus." So I just pray this morning, if you don't know him, please don't leave here without him. He will be your, he is your only hope. And there'll be times in your life where he will be your only hope. That's the only way you can survive. And if you are going through, there's a line that says, sometimes our battles get hot and it seems we're fighting a lot in that life right now. Just the world is crazy. But if we have the Lord in our heart, Satan can't pass that. He can try to knock on our door and he can try to knock us over, but he can't get past the bloodline.
Victory. Many times I'm walking by faith and can't see what lies before me, but still I see victory. I've just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline because I'm covered by love. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. Cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline. Sometimes our battles get hard. But I remember I'm standing on the rock. So Satan, if I were you, I'd turn around and I'd give up too, 'cause I do believe you're bound to lose.
I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline because I'm covered by his love. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. 'Cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline. I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline because I'm covered by his blood. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight.
'Cause remember,
You can't cross the bloodline.
You must remember, you can't cross the
Lord. Appreciate him. Appreciate you being here this morning. And let me just say that the altars are open. If you need to go and do business with the Lord and pray about something, don't wait till the end of the message. You can come right now. You can come. Already had a couple, three come this morning, and it's the Lord's service. This morning, I just have something I want to share with you from my heart. Last Sunday morning, we preached a word of encouragement, and we talked about a man named Hur last Sunday morning. And so we had a word of encouragement on our heart last Sunday morning. This Sunday morning, we are kind of going in a different direction. Have a challenging word on my heart I want to share with you, and I want to go ahead and say that I may step on some toes this morning, but I'm doing it with love. It's not my intentions to put anybody on a guilt trip. I'm certainly not doing that, but this message this morning is definitely for whosoever needs it. And this kind of preaching that I'm going to be doing this morning, this message I'm going to share, needs to be preached in our day because of the direction that many Christians are going. And if the preacher's not preaching it, where are they going to hear it? And so I don't like preaching harsh. I don't like preaching challenging messages. My sweet spot is messages of encouragement, but from time to time, the Lord has us out of our comfort zone. Hebrews chapter number 2 this morning, and we're going to read verse number 1 in just a moment. It's been a while since we've read from Hebrews 2 and verse number 1, but I do feel like it is the message for this morning's service, and I want to say thank you to those watching on Facebook. And thank you for those who have been liking and sharing our posts and videos we've been making. We're just trying to up our views and potential audience. So thank you. Thank you for those that are listening on our webpage. I know at least one person listens on our webpage, and Randy Ely does, because he tells me. And of course, we have our small radio station. And we have people from Africa and all across the world that says they listen. So what an opportunity every time we get to preach and speak the words of God. All right, let's bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to introduce the message this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. We need you, God. I pray for a clear head and a calm heart this morning. Let the message be simple in nature. Let it be easily understood and well received, Lord. We're living in troublesome times where many Christians are drifting. And so, Lord, we need some preaching in our day. But, Lord, we do so in love this morning. I pray that you, the big preacher, would show up and minister to hearts. Holy Spirit, we give you full control. Save the lost and bless the saved is our prayer. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. The Christian life this morning can be similar to a road and road signs, such as a stop sign, a speed limit sign, or construction ahead sign. Have you ever traveled down a road and you came to a road sign that indicated a curve ahead? But you noticed that the curve that you were on was gradual. You hardly realized you were going around a curve. Up in the Blue Ridge Mountains, there's many curves going around those mountains, and there's certain curves that are so gradual, again, you can't even tell you're on a curve. There is a spiritual road sign in the Christian life of a curve, and it's indicative of danger. So it means to watch out for the curve. This spiritual road sign is to prevent one from drifting from God and the goodness of the Lord. The curve to drifting, or the curve to backsliding, is one of those long, gradual curves in the road. In fact, you might not be able to see your motion in real time because this curve is so gradual. You can't even tell it's a curve. But there are things in your life that are changing for the worst. Although you can't really tell you're drifting, you can't really tell you're going around a curve, there are some things that are indicative that things are changing for the worst. I want to say this morning that leaving the Lord's side is usually a slow process. It is such a gradual process that we sometimes, as I said a moment ago, do not realize what's going on until we're far away from the Lord. Let me give you an illustration. It's kind of like putting a frog in a pot of hot water that's boiling. That frog will jump right out. But if you put him in a pot of cold water and gradually turn up the heat, you will cook that frog to death. And I want to say this morning, that's the case in a lot of lives of believers. They are on a gradual bend away from God. We have empty pews this morning, and a lot of the reason why there's empty pews is because there's a lot of Christians who are drifting from the Lord. If you were to go ask them, are you drifting from the Lord? They would say no. And many times it's because the curve of drifting, the curve of backsliding is so gradual you can't even see it. You can't notice it. And so I want you to notice here in Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 1, what the Bible says. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. This verse talks about slipping, sliding, and drifting. And so the Bible this morning is full of instruction that we should heed. This verse tells us, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. The Bible is full of things that we should heed, that we've already heard. And we ought to take heed of these things that we've heard and not let them slip. For example, don't turn there, but in Proverbs chapter number 6, in verse 27, the Bible says this: can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? That's a rhetorical question. it doesn't demand an answer. It's self-explanatory. If you take fire to your chest, your clothes are going to catch on fire. And so that is some of the scriptures that we need to not let slip. Let us not play with fire this morning, because we can get burned. Galatians chapter number 6, verse 7, don't turn there. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we sow good, we will reap good. If we sow bad, we will reap bad." But there's three things about sowing and reaping we all must take heed to. We will reap what we sow. He says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." So we will reap what we sow, but also we will reap more than we sow. You plant a seed, one single seed. You plant a tomato seed, and you'll get a stalk with several tomatoes. Not only will we reap what we sow, good or bad, but we will reap more than we sow, good or bad. But the third thing is, we will reap later than we sow. Later than we sow. He talks about that there is a due season coming. "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap, if you faint not." And so that has to do with good or bad. We reap what we sow, more than we sow, later than we sow. And so this morning, let us not let those principles slip from our hands. Let us be people who sow good things. Let us be people who doesn't sow sparingly to those good things, but sows bountifully to those good things. You sow sparingly to good things, you'll reap sparingly to those good things. You sow bountifully to those good things, you'll reap bountifully to those good things. You sow sparingly to bad things, you'll reap sparingly. You sow bountifully to bad things, you will reap bountifully bad things. Let me say this about sin. Sin will always take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. You know, there's a man by the name of Ravi Zacharias. Has anybody ever heard of Ravi Zacharias? He's dead and in heaven now. But I read where he made that quote. I don't know if it's true or not, but former pastor Ravi Zacharias made that quote about sin. But after his death, there was many adulterous relationships and several sexual claims that surfaced from that man while in ministry. Isn't that a terrible thing? Isn't that terrible to know that this great man of God that stood and preached and reached people had all these secret affairs and sexual claims going on in his life? He himself let some things slip. He himself was on this curve. He didn't watch out for the curve. It was a slow, gradual process for him. This morning, with the help of the Lord, I want to preach for a few moments on that topic. Watch out for the curve. Watch out for the curve. That's to say the gradual drifting from the Lord, like the warning sign of a curve coming up. There are two basic changes, listen to me this morning, two basic changes that take place along the curve of drifting. I want to give you 2 points, point number one and point number two, but under point number one, I have two sub-points. Two letter subpoints under point number one. So 2 points. Two basic changes that takes place along the curve of drifting. Number one, a change of attitude will occur. If you want to know if someone's drifting, if you want to know if you're drifting, from the Lord, if you're on this curve of drifting, there will be a change of attitude. One of the quickest changes you see in someone who is on the curve of drifting from the Lord is their attitude about spiritual matters. Spiritual matters. This attitude can be seen in several ways. Letter A, a change of attitude is seen in spiritual matters. They have a change of attitude in the spiritual matter of church. Letter A, church. A change in attitude about church. That's how you know one is drifting. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian, they'll say. They once didn't say that. Well, there's too many hypocrites in church. They used to not say that. Well, I have church every day in my heart. That may be true. I have to work now on Sundays. Well, let me ask you, is it optional? It's deer season. Sorry. Our family time is on Sundays. Why not enjoy your family at church? Well, I watch on Facebook. And there are some that watch on Facebook, and we're so thankful. But let me just share this with you. Someone said to me, Justin, the week after our last youth Sunday, they said, I couldn't come to church that day, but I watched you preach on Facebook. The only one problem with that, I didn't preach. Brother Brian preached. Listen, we're not casting stones. We're just calling it like it is. This kind of preaching needs to be in our day. There's so many people that are drifting. They have this change of attitude concerning spiritual matters. And one way it's seen is about the area of church. Hebrews 10:25, don't go there. Don't turn there. I'll give it to you. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You say, Brother Justin, I've heard that all my life. Well, can I just pull out 3 points in that verse? Three big encouraging points. Number one, we see the Lord's return is soon. He says, when he talks about the day approaching, he's not talking about the day of assembling ourselves together. He's talking about the day of our departing. And because the return of the Lord is imminent, he says, let's not separate ourselves or forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so that's one thing about church that we need to understand, that the Lord could come back. And do you want to be found worshiping him or living in the world? Number two about that verse, we are encouraged at church. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. You're supposed to come to church to be encouraged. Now, if you leave Calvary Baptist Church and you're discouraged, please come and talk to me, because we will talk this thing out. Because if you know my heart is to encourage. As I said a moment ago, sometimes we have to trot across messages like this, but nonetheless, we all have come together, congregated ourselves together, using our spiritual gifts. As I put on Facebook about today's service and tonight's service, let us be a fountain and not a drain. Let us come to pour into one another. That's the whole thing about church. And there are certain people who are on this curve of drifting. They once loved coming to church. They're like, oh, now I won't go to that church because Pastor so-and-so's there, not no more. He ain't here there anymore. This ain't going on anymore. The choir ain't what it used to be. Listen, you're not coming for a pastor. You're not coming for a choir. You're coming for the Lord. And if it ain't church here, go to church somewhere. But and then there's another thing about Hebrews 10:25. Not only we see the Lord's return is soon, the day approaching, we are encouraged at church, exhorting one another. but their strength in numbers. Did you catch that? There is strength in numbers. Listen, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You're bearing a burden this morning and you want to stay at home? Don't stay at home. Come to church. You're here this morning and you don't feel 100% and spiritually you feel zapped. Well, guess what? You're at the right place because there's strength in numbers. Share your burden. Many times we want to retreat when we're not feeling good. Many times when we have family problems and we have issues in our life, the first thing we want to say is, I just don't feel like going to church today. But the Bible says there's strength in numbers. There's strength in numbers. Look, there's someone here that you can share your load with. There's someone here you can confide in. Let us pray for you, love on you, pour in you. We want to be fountains. We don't want to be drains. But at the end of the day, this curve of drifting, one way you can tell that someone's drifting is that they have a change of attitude. A change of attitude concerning spiritual matters. They have a change in attitude about church. Listen to this. The person who's struggling with the curve suddenly finds worldly things are more appealing than church and spiritual things. The church was once a blessing to them, but now they avoid it like a plague. Oh, church is all about do's and don'ts, but at one time it was your wills and wants. They now serve other gods who are drifting. The god of money, fame, fortune, relationships. Idolatry is anything you put before God. They make excuses why they can't come to church when one is drifting. You've heard about the Tater family, right? We mentioned the Tater family a few Sunday nights ago downstairs. We only mentioned three members of the Tater family, but I've added some. There's taters in the church. There's hesitators. Those who have excuses. There's dictators. Those who try to strong arm. I've been a member here for 111 years and my name is on every pew, and what I say goes, not the pastor, not the deacons. There's imitators. And those are good because they're imitating the Lord. There's commentators. And this is those who give their opinions on everything. Well, I think this, and I think that. I think this, and I think... commentators. Then there's spectators. They sit and they watch and they want things to bloom and blossom, but they don't want to put their work gloves on. They're spectators. Oh, Lord help us. Then there's the agitators. There's the agitators. But thank God, Brother Ceylon, in the church, there's some sweet taters. Huh? There's some sweet taters in the church. And these sweet taters are more healthier for you, amen? And listen, there are those who are drifting from the Lord. They make excuses. They serve other gods now. Church is not important. They're critical. Question is, what happened to them? I'll tell you what happened. Day by day, as they traveled the road of life, they started in the curve of drifting. And it was so gradual, they can't remember how it started. Their lifestyle now is like it was before salvation because they are so far down the road. People now may say of them, you remember how they used to come to church? You remember how they used to soul win? You remember how so-and-so would come and sing? You remember how devoted they were? Now, as they round the curve, if nothing else is going on, they might come to church. They might. Listen, you're not coming to church for me. You're not coming to church for the choir. You're not coming to church for no other reason but the Lord. And if you can't get in touch with the Lord at Calvary, you go somewhere to get in touch with the Lord. Amen. But that's our desire here at Calvary, is to exhibit Jesus, to offer Him. And so we see that here, that there is a change of attitude, a change of attitude about church. Revelation 2:4, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." In that same chapter, in that same portion of Scripture, talking about the church of Ephesus, in verse number 2, he says, "I know your works in labor." He says, "I'm not interested in how busy you are for me." He says, "I want time with you." Listen, I can be so busy trying to make a kingdom at my house, 607 Sweetwater Bridge Circle, making everything fancy and fine and nice and fluffy and pretty, that my girls never see me. And they may go home and they may stretch out on the couch and watch anything they want on TV and DoorDash food and all these things, and daddy's not home. Let me tell you what they're going to begin to start missing. And this is vice versa. They're going to start missing me. And if Christy was gone all the time, I start missing her. And Lord help us, Lily's going to graduate next year, and whatever direction she wants to go in college, college-wise, career-wise, she may be gone, and I'm going to miss her. And so, listen, the Lord is not so impressed or interested in how much we're doing for Him. He just wants time with us. You think about the story of Mary and Martha. And we're not harsh on Martha. God knows we need some Marthas, don't we? Those who will serve the Lord and work hard. But Mary chose that good thing that cannot be taken away from her. Martha was serving so much, she was encumbered about with all of that serving, and she actually told the Lord, "Lord, help me. Tell her to help me. I need help. Tell my sister to help me." So she charged the Lord. She got upset. She got angry. But the Lord told her that you need to do a lot of what Mary's doing. That is worshiping. Worshiping. We need Marthas, but we need some Marys. We need some Marys as well. And so we see that, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Also, don't turn there, but in Matthew 26, verse 58, the Bible says that Peter followed him afar off. He followed him from a distance. Are you following Jesus from a distance? Mark chapter 14, in verse number 54, the Bible says that not only was Peter following from afar, but he was warming himself by the enemy's fires. He was denying Jesus. He was following from afar. He was warming himself by the enemy's fires. Lord, let us not be guilty of going to the world. And I know we're in the world, but we do not have to be of the world. Lord, help us not warm ourselves how the world warms themselves. Christians are not to be the ones who warm themselves on a bar stool. Christians are not those who should be warming themselves with the wrong crowds and the wrong companies, being pulled away from God. And that's the reason why a lot of people, they're following God, but they're following from afar, because they're warming themselves by the fires of the enemy in the world. Peter did this in the high priest's palace with his servants, where he denied the Lord also. And so point number one again was simply that, a change of attitude. And you see a change in attitude about church, letter A. But letter B, under a change of attitude, not only do you see a change about church, but letter B, a change in attitude about God. About God. The person on the curve wants God as Savior, but not Lord. You see, Jesus can be your Savior and not Lord. I'll prove it. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe that God raised them from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Jesus as Savior. But the question is Jesus your Lord? Lord meaning controller, meaning leader. He wants to be your Savior and Lord. He wants to be both. Someone said one time, Jesus is either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. You say, I don't know, Brother Justin. I believe it bears out in Scripture. Let me show you. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter number 2. I'm not saying we don't struggle. I'm not saying we don't slip. And I'm not saying we don't fumble. I'm not saying that. And if you do those things, that don't mean you're lost. And that doesn't mean you don't love God. But what I'm saying is, you wake up every day and you make them, Lord, Lord, I give you this day. I give you everything. I may not be perfect, but Lord, I always start my day with you and I end my day with you. Acts chapter number 2, verse 36. Listen to this. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. God is saying he's the Savior, but he's Lord. He's the leader. He's in control. And so if we have Jesus as our Savior, do we have him as our Lord? You see, someone who is going around the curve of drifting, they may have him as Savior, but not necessarily as Lord. They have a change in attitude about God. If we believe the Word of God and not obey it, we're doing no more than the devil is doing. James 2:10 says that the devils believe and tremble. Listen, following Jesus, there has to be obedience to the best of your ability. And then when you run out of ability, it's to the best of God's ability. If you really want to follow Jesus this morning, you can. If you really want what he wants, you can receive it. A change in attitude about God is letter B. A change in attitude about church, letter A. And so, point number one, a change of attitude when someone is on the curve of drifting. But point number two is this. Not only a change of attitude, you can tell when someone is drifting, but a change of actions. There's always a change of actions that follow attitude. The change of attitude is how you think. The change of action is what you do. When our attitudes change, our actions will soon follow suit. Listen to this. The drifter knows they are no longer close to the Lord. Their family knows they are no longer close to the Lord. Their friends know they are no longer close to the Lord. Their neighbors know they are no longer close to the Lord, but most importantly, God knows they are no longer living close to him. I want to give you an example of how this is possible for any of us. There was a time in Solomon's life when no one would have doubted his love and devotion to God. Amen. He loved God so much that God asked him, Solomon, what do you want? I'll give you anything. And you know what Solomon said? Wisdom. He said, I want the ability to make sound decisions in following God's will. No one doubted Solomon at this particular time in his life. No one doubted his love and devotion for God. He asked for wisdom. Man, if God would ask me what I want sometimes, I don't know if I would say wisdom. I hope I would say wisdom. But, you know, might be a nice big pickup truck. You know, who knows? I hope I would say wisdom. He loved God so much, he asked God, and then God said, all right, I'll give you wisdom. But listen to this. Solomon started hanging out with the wrong people. And it wasn't long before he started to build places of worship for idols. 1 Kings 11, 2 through 5. Turn there if you would. Follow, watch on the screen, whatever. 1 Kings 11, 2 through 5. Solomon started hanging out with the wrong people, and it wasn't long before he started to build places of worship for idols. 1 Kings chapter number 11, verse number 2. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, listen, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had, oh mercy, and he had 700 wives. Tim, what in the world, brother? 700 wives? 700 mother-in-laws? 700 father-in-laws? 700 families? What in the world is Solomon thinking? He had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, so now some time has passed, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. Men, make sure that we got the right kind of wife. I mean, you're already married. It's too late anyway. That's why the dating scene is so important. Date, court, know who you're going to marry. Do not marry anyone that's going to turn your heart away from God. The Bible says, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. A change of actions. Here was Solomon who loved God and prayed for wisdom, and now he has 700 wives. He has a house full. And his heart is totally away from God. Listen, it matters who you hang out with. It matters who you date. It matters who you rub shoulders with. It matters. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But make sure you're a match. Make sure you're a match. The fact that someone loves the Lord today doesn't mean they'll love him tomorrow. Church, it is a daily walk with Jesus. A change of actions. Look at the shape our country's in. There is a Christian outage. Amen? There is a Christian outage in our country. Do you think that everyone that calls himself a Christian is voting correctly? No. No. I'm sure there are some so-called Christians that are voting incorrectly, and you know what I mean. Christians this morning are to vote morally. We are to vote biblically. It ought not to be politically motivated or racially motivated or financially motivated. We are to vote for the right person who stands for what the Bible stands. In my estimation, only one of those two do. You'll be surprised at the Christians that have bought into the world's thinking and are voting pro-choice, pro-alternate lifestyle, pro-legalized marijuana. Listen, I'm talking about recreational use, okay? I'm not talking about health. I'm not talking about the drops. I'm talking about recreational use. I believe it's in Colorado. There are pot shops. You can go in and just buy a bag and smoke on the way home. You know, I mean, that's how it's. And I want to tell you what. You know what pot leads to? Other drugs. Pot is the back door to other drugs. I was 15 years old the first time that I smoked marijuana. I'm being honest this morning. I don't smoke now, but I was 15. And let me tell you why I smoked when I was 15. I was at a friend's house, and he had a joint, and I was pressured into it. I smoked it. I didn't even like it. But I kept smoking and kept smoking and kept smoking. And for the next 5 years, I smoked pot every day, and I loved it. But there came a time when pot wasn't enough. I remember I was at a motel party. Someone said, "Hey, Boots, I've got some powder stuff over here. You want to try it?" And I was already high from pot. I said, "Let's do it." And we snorted that stuff and snorted that stuff and snorted that stuff. 3 days later, I was still in that motel room, hadn't slept. Almost couldn't get out. I was so mentally messed up. And so if they legalize marijuana and have pot places around in Georgia, what do you think's coming next? Again, I'm not talking about seizures, and I'm not talking about the oil that's used for seizures. There's some that who depend on that, and it's really working, and that's fine. I don't care what someone says about my belief in that. That's fine. But rolling a doobie going down the road, almost leaning into oncoming traffic, shame on those who smoke pot. Shame on those who do drugs. But if we take a step back and look at it, the reason why many of them are doing that is because they're empty on the inside. They need Jesus. Pro-choice. Some Christians are voting. Let the mother have a choice in aborting that baby. Pro-alternate lifestyle. Legalize marijuana. Pro-unisex bathrooms. That's just to name a few. I'm not getting on any big topics this morning. We were somewhere the other day, Lily and I, and we were trying to find a restroom. Lily goes in the girls. I go in the guys. She's a girl. I'm a guy. Duh. Every one of them said unisex. Every one of them. You can take that how you want it. Well, that means that they, you know, anybody can go in each one. But at the same time, I know what they're getting at. If you say that you're identifying yourself as a woman and you're a man, then you can go in the woman's bathroom. It's for anybody. If you're identifying yourself, I feel like I'm a man and I'm a woman, then I'm going to go into the, you know, the women's bathroom or the men's bathroom. So now they're just making these unisex bathrooms. Everybody going to the same bathroom. You have got to be down the curve away from God to support that. That's not even some of the biggest. That's some big matters. But there are some other big matters we're not going to get at this morning. Talking about going down the curve of drifting. There's a Christian outage from pulpits across America who have no real convictions, no backbones to preach God's word as men are. And men are sick and depraved on their way to hell. And some are just drifting from the Lord that know the Lord. This must be preached. Must be preached. A change of actions when someone is on the curve of drifting. A change of attitude when someone is on the curve of drifting. Their attitude about church, their attitude about God will change. Isaiah 5:20, I'll give this to you. We'll give an invitation. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that call evil good. That's the kind of day we're living in. And sad to say, a lot of Christians have bought into that. That at one time they've called evil bad, but now evil's good. Because they're drifting. And the sad thing is, the curve of drifting is so gradual they can't even tell it. Brother Justin, what should I do then if I'm away from the Lord? If you're saved and you're away from Him, just come this morning and say, "I'm done. I want to go home." Like in the story of the prodigal son, when he went home, the father fell on his neck and kissed him. He saw him a great way off. He was looking for the son. God's looking for your return this morning. Or maybe you just need to get saved. You don't even know if you were to die today, heaven to be your home. You can get saved today. You can get saved, and God can straighten you out and put you on the right road. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whatever you need this morning, the altar is open. We're giving invitation as we stand to our feet. Whatever song they have. Father, take the message and apply it to the heart that needs it the most. I pray that you would save someone this morning, that you would bring someone who may be following from afar back to the cross. And Lord, just thank you for always taking us back and being so good. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And amen.
Oh, to Jesus I
surrender.
Feel
free to come this morning if you need to come. We're here to support you.
To him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily.
We're here to help and support.
I surrender all. I surrender.
Time for you as these are praying.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me Jesus, take me.
Singing this morning. Thank you for coming down front, those who came, and thank you for listening. I hope you got something today, something that you can go home and meditate on. And just remember CLU for all the ladies at 3:30 down in the fellowship hall. So remember that, fellowship hall, 3:30. And remember, we will have choir practice at 4:30 to prepare for the evening service. Tonight I want to bring something a little different. I want to talk about tonight. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, it's been on my heart. The last promise in prayer of the Bible. Revelation 22. I'm not going to preach it now, but verse number 20. This is the last promise in the Bible and the last prayer in the Bible. The Bible says, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. That's the last promise in the Bible. And here's the last prayer. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We're going to talk about that tonight. And we're going to talk about the rapture of the church and the difference between the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ. Two separate things. All right? So don't miss that. I think you will enjoy it. We're looking forward to it. All right. All hearts clear before we go. All right. We are clear. Okay. Everybody have a blessed afternoon. Good to see you. See you back here in a little while. And Brother Allen, would you close us out in a word of prayer?
Father, we do thank you for the opportunity we've had to be in your house today. Lord, thank you for the message and the messenger. Lord, thank you for the moving of the Holy Spirit and for these that have come this morning. Lord, maybe some should have come that didn't. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with them through the day. Maybe they'll make themselves an altar somewhere. And Lord, kneel and pray and ask you, Lord, for whatever that need is in their life. Maybe it's for salvation. Maybe it's just a closer walk. Lord, it's been a convicting message this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, that we would not fall into the curve. Lord, I couldn't help but think that sometimes those curves turn drastic. And Lord, they can be very steep, and Lord, they can be very strong. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, that we would live a life that you'd be pleased with. Help us to be a good witness for you. Lord, help us to love those that might be living in the curve. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be an encouragement. Lord, again, just be with us now as we depart and go our separate ways. Bring us back to your house this evening. Be with the ladies in the COU meeting this afternoon. We will praise you and thank you for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen.